The following podcast is for adults only. And thanks for listening.
I am enormous. Get used to it. Everyone tells me I'm too much. Maybe it's just you're not enough for me. Can't you see? I'm the kind of woman I'm supposed to be.
Hi there, and welcome to the Body Storytelling Podcast. I'm sexual folklorist Dixie De La Tour, and this week we have a story from anti-racism community educator and erotic activist Victor Waring. Before we go any further, I need to remind you that this weekend is Folsom Street Fair, the largest kink event in the world, and they have chosen body storytelling to be their official after party. And this one, this body storytelling is going to be incredibly special. Wait, let me say this first. Folsom Street Fair is online, so you can watch it wherever you are. And it's going to be hosted by the legendary Margaret Cho. And then after Folsom Street Fair, at 7 p.m. Pacific, the after party starts. Body storytelling has storytellers from all over the country. We have What's the Safe Word host Amp Summers, which you may know as Amp the Pup. We have queer graphic artist Justin Hall. We have Sex Down South co-founder Marla Renee Stewart and international burlesque sensation and Folsom Street Fair main event co-host Alotta Boutte. We'll also have original songs, original body songs from Jefferson Berge. And this one is probably going to sell out. So make sure you get your tickets as soon as possible. We've got our new levels. Voyeur is selling like crazy. What is up? We've got exhibitionist. We've got solo. We've got household. Whatever level you can come in at, we want you there. It's a celebration of community. It's a celebration of alternative lifestyles, and that's you and me. Tickets are available on our website, bodystorytelling.com. You can find them in the show notes for this episode and all over social media. Get your tickets right now. If you've been cooped up for months with a partner, there's no better way to spice things up than enjoying a summer breeze and a semi-public makeout session. You know how I love the drive-in, and this socially distanced, public yet private way to get out of your house really does bring sexy back, doesn't it? I grab a face mask, bring a cooler with cocktails, a bucket of popcorn, and I eat it in my car while I watch something campy, like Shit and Champagne. It's this drag queen film that just had its world premiere at the drive-in here. And best of all, I bring a bottle of Uberlube. Uberlube is a luxurious, high-grade silicone lubricant made from clean, body-friendly ingredients. It's just silicone with a little vitamin E. I love that Uberlube isn't sticky and it feels good on my skin. That touch of vitamin E is welcome to stay and moisturize my whatever all the way through the dark night and well into Joker. No access to a sink or to soap and water? Well, it feels so good you'll savor how it feels on your business. It's great for all kinds of play. Vaginal, oral, anal. I love saying those words. Want to wear your butt plug all the way through Deadpool? Uberlube helps that puppy slide right in. And since Uberlube won't stain clothing or bedding, you can clean up easily with detergent and water later. Uberlube offers long-lasting performance when you want it, like all the way through a double feature long-lasting. There's no flavor or scent. And if you're solo, take Uberlube and your favorite toy on a date and amplify the latest purge epic with a little highly vibrational edging. I'm such a fan of Uberlube, and right now they're offering Body Storytelling listeners a special offer. 10% and free shipping when you use my code DIXIE at Uberlube.com. That's 10% off and free shipping, y'all. Just use the code Dixie at uberlube.com. Oh, and thank you to Uberlube for supporting Body Storytelling. Uberlube, it lets you feel what you want to feel. Head to that drive-in near you or at home with the Body Storytelling live stream and give it a try. Uberlube really is the best. Hi there. How's your week going? I have been in mad preparation for this week's Folsom Street Fair live stream. It's this Sunday, and there are so many extra moving pieces to this one because it's such a big deal. I mean, Folsom Street Fair is the, you know what it is. You've heard me talk about it. But remember how I alluded to something last week and how I wanted to talk to you about it this week? I've kind of been unsure. I haven't been sure how to talk to you about this, but here we go. Because the universe, I'm not a very woo-woo person at all, but the universe is telling me it's time to do it. It's time to take action. It's time to make a change. The reason I know the universe is saying that is because yesterday, I'm trying to record the podcast. I feel like I'm already behind with so much coming up this week. And when I went into my office to set up to record, a hummingbird flew in. And he flew around insanely. I was so afraid that he was going to hurt himself. He kept flying up. He was seeing me possibly as a threat, I guess. And I tried to very gently head him back toward the open windows. I opened them as wide as I could. I tried to remove any distractions. I pulled back the curtains. I did everything I could. I could not get this hummingbird to leave. He just insisted on staying, and every once in a while he'd perch on the chandelier in my office and take a little rest, and then he'd take off again. I tried recording with him here in the office, and every time I would speak, he would flutter, and I would feel like it's probably being picked up, although that might have been cool, huh? So I kept postponing while I tried to get the hummingbird out of the office. I love hummingbirds. They're so beautiful. You could watch them forever. Like, how do they do that? They're a miracle. And 3 hours later, he was still in my office. He would not leave. I'm posting on social media asking people, how do you get a hummingbird to leave your house? And everybody's saying, do you not realize it's a big fucking deal when a hummingbird chooses you? Do you know what hummingbirds represent? I actually didn't. I mean, I knew I'd always been impressed with them, but everybody is telling me that as a totem, that they represent joy, they represent adaptability, they represent change, all of those woo-woo things I had thought. And I actually started reading some of the links that people were sending to me. And it was pretty inspirational. I'm sitting here, I'm reading this, and I'm thinking about the session that I had just done a few hours before. I have been working with a person who wanted to use storytelling to figure out her life. And it has been one of the most moving experiences for me. I sit, I take notes, I listen to her story, I reflect back, I give her perspective on what she said. And she doesn't have people to talk to. She doesn't have anyone open-minded who won't judge her. And at the end of every session, we've done three now, she feels lighter. I feel great. I feel useful. I feel smart. I know storytelling. I know how to use storytelling to enact change, to understand yourself. I've been doing it for 13 years. So, after my session with her last week, I had decided to start thinking about maybe offering this to people and trying the idea on for size. And I've decided to do it. And I'm telling you because, you know, when you tell somebody you're doing something, that means it's real, right? So it's real. So I am starting Storytelling for Self-Discovery. If you are someone who needs someone open-minded to talk to, if you want to understand your story, if you want to figure out how to get to your next place, I'm here for you. I want to work with you. I'm doing a crazy good introductory rate just to put it out in the world. And every single time I've given thought to this, it's so weird. The phone rings, or I get a text, or I get an email that says I want to work with you. And now I have, I don't know, I'm working with 4 or 5 people already, and I haven't even announced it yet. So I'm announcing it now. I have created a calendar where you can book a session with me. You can do a 15-minute discovery call so we can figure out if it's going to work for you or not. And then there's also a calendar so you can book time. I have had for years people ask to work with me on stories. And I've always said, I'd love to, but there's the show. I have to prioritize the stories in the show. Everything is about body. And COVID has changed things. And not only is it harder to make a living as an event producer, it's harder to produce events. So I am kind of shifting what I'm doing. I am now available to you. We can work on a story together. If you want to figure out how to be polyamorous, if you want to understand your life, if you want to think about a career change, if you want to become a sex educator, I have an amazing network. And I can help you find what you're looking for. Maybe. Maybe I don't know what you want yet, but if you book a discovery call, we can talk about it and see if it works for you. Remember, it's brand new. I'm trying something new. I really appreciate the people who wrote me last week and the week before to tell me, I think you're perfect for working with people on their stories. I think regular people could use this. And the thing that feels so right about this is I help people have this huge epiphany in their life as they work on their story. And then there's this next step, which is, hi, not only did you just take in this monumental amount of information, now the next step is to get on stage in front of hundreds of people to tell your story. Those things don't necessarily go together, but I've been doing them that way for years. So there you go. There's a link to my calendar in the show notes if you want to book a call or if you want to learn more about it. All I have right now is a calendar. I'm telling you this because I'm putting it out in the world. Every time I've done that so far has felt like this is where I need to be headed. Just like that hummingbird that told me I needed to be open to what's next, that I needed to do something that gave me joy. And that's what storytelling does. I get in this place where I am in love with my life when I feel like I'm useful and I can help somebody with their life. And so here I go. I'm trying it. Thanks, Mr. Hummingbird. I appreciate your input.
Hey, vulva owners, do you want stronger orgasms? Intensity by Pour Moi is a device that every woman needs. It is scientifically proven that a stronger pelvic floor can lead to stronger orgasms. Intensity by Pour Moi from In Control Medical gives you that strength. It's a sexual health and stimulation device that tightens and tones your pelvic floor muscles and your vagina. A lot of people might be tempted to call it a vibrator, but it's actually much, much more. It combines pelvic floor health and, with both internal and external vibration, delivers a powerful orgasm. It's like a trip to the gym for your pelvic floor. The natural process of aging, high-impact exercises, and childbirth take a toll on the health of the muscles that surround the vagina, causing them to stretch and lose tone and tightness over time. Most people know Kegel exercises are important, but Intensity does them better by automatically exercising the muscles of the pelvic floor for you. Studies have demonstrated that tightened and toned pelvic floor muscles increase the power and intensity of the female orgasm. You can naturally rejuvenate the vagina by tightening and toning the pelvic floor muscles. Intensity lets you balance feeling good with working hard. Not only will Intensity teach you how a properly performed Kegel feels, it also has a vibrating component for your pleasure. And right now, Pour Moi is offering Body Storytelling Podcast listeners $25 off of the Intensity when you go to pourmoi.com and enter code DIXIE at checkout. That's $25 off when you go to pourmoi.com. That means for me in French. And be sure to use promo code Dixie. Intensity's Pour Moi from In Control Medical. It's the one device that every woman needs. It's Kegels with a kick. Well, folks, it's time for a story.
But before we get started with that, I want to ask you for some help. The storyteller that you're about to hear from is someone who lives in Ashland, Oregon, which has been devastated by the Almeida fires. In fact, shortly after he performed this story on our live stream, he lost everything. He had just enough time to grab a handful of clothes and his two cats and head out the door. And his home is gone. He didn't have renter's insurance and he has no place to go. There is currently a GoFundMe up. I'm going to include a link to the show notes to help him raise money to replace everything he lost. And it's also going to go to his neighbors because that's the kind of guy he is. So the GoFundMe will tell you more about it, but it's to help victims of the Almeida fires, the wildfires that tore Oregon apart recently. Thank you in advance for sharing it, donating if you can. He definitely needs our help right now. So let me tell you about our storyteller. Victor Waring is a somatic sexuality educator, a sexuality and relationship coach, and an erotic activist. He is also an anti-racism, racial equity community educator. He has a background in somatic psychotherapy, cultural anthropology, theater, and movement improvisation, including playback theater, improvisational storytelling. Victor values the power of storytelling as a leveler of human experience. It is our primary form of community gathering and ritual connection since the days of our hunter-gatherer forebearers sitting around yellow firelight deep into the night. Victor currently lives and practices in Ashland, Oregon. This storyteller is Victor Waring.
Yay, those titties are going to get me through. I am a somatic sexuality educator, as has been said. But more accurately, I'm a somatic sexuality educator with bonobo tendencies. And so I was the kid who, when I was young, I was known as precocious. I'm the kid who, when I was young, all my friends used to come to me and ask me for advice on sexual stuff, and I had it. I had it, and it was accurate, because I had an awesome mom who was in medicine, and she gave me free access to all kinds of great information, some of it a little bit above my pay grade. I was the kid who, in eighth grade, I was disgusted with my health class because we got all the way through the part about sexuality and we hadn't talked about anything. And I was pissed. And so I raised my hand in class and I said, "Is that it? Is that all we're going to talk about?" And my teacher, Mrs. Norwicki, she tried to embarrass me and she said, "Well, what would you like to talk about, Mr. Waring?" And I said, What about anal sex? What about oral sex? What about pleasure? What about orgasms?" And everybody laughed at me, and I got sent to the principal's office. And so that's all to say that I think I was destined from a pretty young age to be a bonobo, or a bonobo for good. It seemed to be my destiny, but if you're going to be a teacher of some kind, you need teachers to begin with. And that's where Vanessa came in. So Vanessa was one of my first teachers ever. She was one of my first gurus. Vanessa was the first woman to actually teach me about the power of the pussy. So I met Vanessa at a polyamory meetup group, one of those groups where you're not supposed to meet up with the people that are there, just get support. Well, we met up there, and on our very first date, we went out to the woods, and then we ended up back at my house. And we went into my bedroom, and we started to make out. And it was really, really hot, because Vanessa had those those dragon eyes, and she could see right through you. She could almost see through you in a way that she knew what you were going to do before you knew what you were going to do. So she was pretty intense. I don't know what her sign was. But we made out, and the making out turned into lips, and the lips turned into biting, and the biting turned into sloppy sloppiness, and clothes started to come off as they do. And at some point, she grabbed my head, and she pulled me, and she whispered into my ear, "I want you to fist me. It's been such a long time, and my pussy just wants to be filled up like that." So I think this is a good time for me to talk to you about my hands. My hands are big, and they're not basketball player big, like with the long fingers, but they're more like paw big, like I can't fit into most gloves that I find big. And in my family, that was called having ham hands. And my mom and my grandmother used to tease me and say, "Boy, you got them ham hands. You are going to make somebody really happy one day."
Awesome.
And so here I am with these hands, and I'm wondering, I don't know if this is going to work. How is this going to work? And she was smaller than I was, and my hands, and she said to me, "You know what? It doesn't matter if it works or not. The joy is going to be the journey, and my body, I have birthed two children out of this body, so I feel pretty confident. But, yeah, if it doesn't work, that'll be just fine. And don't worry, I will show you the way." And so Vanessa showed me the way. So the first thing was preparations. So I got lube. I got my lube out. Lots of lube. Just easy to go. Just there. Lots of lube. And then she said, "You know, you're going to need to get some towels because I'm a squirter." And that was something I'd never experienced either. And I said, "So how many towels do I need?" And she said, "Most of them." And so I got the towels, and then came the hand inspection. So the front and the back, and everything's clean, and there's no cuts, no rough edges. My nails are okay. So I think we were good. We were good to go. And so she said to me, "So this doesn't just happen, okay? So I have to get put into the space for it, and you're going to help me with that. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to lay on back here, on my back, on the bed. And what I want you to do is to love me up. I want you to love up my body." And so I took my hands and I put them on her belly, and I just started to caress her from top to her head to the bottom to her feet. And each stroke was really, really gentle at first. And every time I glided over an area of her body, like her hips or her ribs or her nipples, she would just quiver with a little excitement. And as she got turned on, I got turned on, and my cock started to get harder and really hard. And so as I'm working and I'm rubbing her body, and my cock is brushing up against her every once in a while, and every once in a while as I'd work around her body, my cock would sort of brush against her hand, and she would sort of accidentally on purpose grab it for a moment and then let go. And I was just starting to leave little snail trails of pre-cum all over the place. It was really quite lovely, and we were both getting really, really kind of jacked up. And so at that point she said, I want you to touch my pussy now. And she leaned back in the pillows, and she opened up her legs, and she planted her feet on the ground and spread her legs really wide. And I got down there in front of her, and I was just about ready to touch. And she said, "Wait a minute. actually, what I want you to do is I want you to look at me. I want you to look at me first. And so I did. I hadn't actually been given that permission before. So I got in between her legs and I just looked at this amazing pussy. I love, there was this brown hair that was growing up all over her mound and down the outer lips. And then there was the inner lips, and they were big, and they were heavy, and they were dark, and they hung down, and they were wet. And then right in the middle, there was a clit, that lovely clit. It was about the size of a pinky fingernail. It was a big one, at least in my books. And it was peeking out from under the hood. And then right at the opening, there was this clear liquid that was just starting to gather right there. I was like, oh my God, this is so amazing. And she said, okay, now I'd like you to touch me. And so I took my hand, my paw, and I put it flat against her. Like that. And as soon as I put it against her, I felt her push back on me. And then I pushed back on her, and it was kind of this kind of grindy hand dance. And I could feel the wetness of her just starting to like seep into my hand and through my fingers. And it was amazing. And she said, okay, all right. She said, now it's time for school. Okay, teach me. And she said, I said, what's first? And she said, okay, so what you're going to do is first you're going to get your hands and get all kinds of lube on them. Just all kinds of lube. Get it all over the place. When you think you have enough, put a little bit more lube on. And then you're going to put some of that lube on me and inside of me so we're just all slick and ready to go. And I did that. And then the next thing she said was, okay, now go ahead and make your hand as small as you can, like a little bird beak. And she kind of laughed when I showed her my hand in its smallness. And she said, okay, so what you're going to do is you're going to take your hand and you're going to take the fingers and just put it right at the entrance of my pussy. And I said, okay, and then what? And she said, just wait. This is in a rush. And so I put my fingers there and I waited. And then she took her finger and she started stroking her clit first side to side over the shaft and then kind of round over the clit and over the hood. And as she was doing that, her pussy just got bigger and heavier. And the juice that was flowing out before was just mixing with the lube on my hand. It was all sparkly. When she got herself really excited, she started to hump down on my fingers a little bit, and my fingers started to enter in. And I got excited, I have to admit, I got excited. And I think she felt me get excited and start to push. And she said, wait, this goes at my pace. You don't have to do anything. And so I just laid my hand there, and she just got herself more and more excited. And as she got more excited, my fingers started disappearing more inside of her, and all of a sudden I noticed, oh wow, my first knuckles are gone. And she would breathe and moan, and these dragon eyes of her were all rolled back in her head as she was getting more and more pleasurefied. And then she pushed again, and my fingers went in a little bit deeper, and all of a sudden, oh my gosh, I'm almost all the way in. And she breathed and moaned and rubbed her clit, and we got even more and more excited, and I was excited for her excitement. And then all of a sudden I noticed that we were at the place where my hand is the widest, and we stopped. The bottom of me was up to the first knuckle of my hand, and the top of me was up to the knuckles up top. And then I panicked for a moment, and I got a little anxious, and I said to myself, I wonder if this is really gonna work. And then something shifted in me as I was looking at this, and I said, oh, actually, this is working. This is working because it's not work. It's listening. And I was listening to her, and she was listening to me. And it was just, it was amazing, this listening going on. And I remembered what she said at the beginning, hey, you know what? It's not the goal. It's the journey. Wherever we have pleasure. And so here I was, and I was just lost in my own thoughts for a second, but all of a sudden, I felt her pussy just grab me and pull me in. I felt my hand start to slide in past her pelvic bones, and all of a sudden, her vagina ballooned up to hold, to accommodate my hand, and I didn't feel so much like I was penetrating. I felt like I was being enveloped. And I felt the opening of her pussy snap around around my wrist. And then there I was, and I looked up at her, and she smiled at me, and she said, "Well, I guess you're going to make it all the way in tonight." And I didn't say anything, because I was in awe. You see, I was a man boy, raised to be really concerned about what I was going to do to the body of a woman. I was raised to think, oh, you know, being sexual is about, like, doing to someone, and I have to be in charge of the doing. I was a man boy who thought and was really concerned about my cock, like what the size of my cock and whether it was going to be hard or soft or whether it was going to function or what it was going to do. And what I realized was sitting in front of her with my hand up to the forearm in her, I was like, that just doesn't matter at all. It doesn't matter at all. And what I felt was the hubris of something in my maleness start to crack open, and it started to allow something else in, something that was new. And so there I was, sitting there, and she said, relax. I said, what? And she said, relax your hand. So I did. And she said, okay, so this is what we're going to do. You're going to listen to me, and I'm going to listen to you. And we're just going to ride this out wherever it goes. And we can improvise. We're both dancers. We know what to do. And you get to play with your knuckles a little bit or play with your hand. And if something doesn't work, I will let you know. But we're just going to play here. And so we did. It was another dance with my hand in there. And she moved a little bit, and I moved with her. And then I moved a little bit, and she moved with me, and I played with my knuckles. I kind of moved them around a little bit, and then a little bit more, and I tried flexing my hand a little bit, and just to see what was what. And I noticed I could feel so much. I could feel her heartbeat. I could feel her muscles underneath all of that flesh. It was just amazing. And as we were moving together, the energy just started to come up. Ah, and the orgasm, I could feel her orgasm starting to rise. And so I was riding with her. And as her orgasm got started to get bigger, I started to rise up with her. And all of a sudden, her orgasm just shot up. And I felt my hand being drawn up as far as it could go inside of her. And then she just growled and just bared down with everything she had. And I just imagined myself at the emergency room the next day with a broken wrist and having to explain to the ER doc what happened. But that didn't happen. But she came. And she came so fully, and I was expecting, okay, she's coming, and coming lasts for a particular period of time. And when that time came, you know, whatever it is, it didn't stop. She just kept coming. And as she kept coming, I just kept riding with her. And sometimes the cum went up really high, and sometimes it went down really low, and it vibrated out and in. And I was just riding with it, and I was getting all of the splash in my face. And as we're riding and riding and riding, and it was, oh my God, her orgasm wasn't an event. It was an experience. And I just rode with her. I rode with her. And then finally, after a little bit of time, the vibrations, they started to get a little bit quieter and a little bit less and a little bit shimmery. And then finally, we came to stillness. I was wet. She was wet. The bed was soaked. No amount of towels would have done the job. But we were quiet for a while, and then at some point she said, you know, I'm ready for you to come out of me. And so I bird-beaked my hand again, and she said, slowly. And I slowly started to come out, And as I was coming out, what I saw was my hand starting to crown, coming out of her. And as I pulled my hand out, it felt like it was being rebirthed into the world. And as I stared into the void that was there, I swear what I saw were stars and planets and galaxies and whole worlds spinning in there. I felt like Dave Bowman in 2001, A Space Odyssey, looking at the monolith and saying, "My God, it's full of stars." And then we laid there together for a while, and day had gone to night. We had been there for a while, and wet warmness had turned into cold wetness. And she said, "Okay, I'm going to get up and go to the bathroom." And so I just laid there for a minute in my own thoughts. And then I realized that she was gone for longer than it took to go to the bathroom. And so I got up and I followed her into the hallway and I called her name, "Hey, Vanessa." And I saw her in the hallway and she was standing still and she was leaning against the wall and she was bent over slightly with her hands on her knees. And I said, "Vanessa, are you okay?" And I walked up behind her, and what I noticed was there was this trickle of liquid going down her leg and forming like little puddles by her feet. And so I came up behind her and I just held her from behind and I said, "Vanessa, are you all right?" And she looked over her shoulder at me and she smiled and her body was quivering and she said, I'm all right. I'm still coming. I'm coming." She said, I can't stop coming." And so I just sat with her while she came against the wall for I don't know how long. And so, like I said at the beginning, I always knew that I was going to be a bonobo for good. I always knew that somehow my life was going to be about sexuality and maybe helping other people with their sexuality and making people feel, or helping them feel as full and erotic and as pleasurefied as they can possibly find in themselves. But doing that requires teachers along the way. And Vanessa was one of my first teachers. And to this day, I am so glad that she took me by the hand.
Slither while they pass, they slip away across the universe. Pools of sorrow, waves of joy are drifting through my open mind, possessing and caressing me. Across the universe, thoughts meander like a restless wind inside a letterbox. They tumble blindly as they make their way across the universe. Jack, nothing's gonna change my world.
that was Across the Universe by Fiona Apple. You've heard me say it before. Patreon has saved my life. It was already life-changing even before the pandemic, just knowing that people out there loved what I was doing. A podcast is free, but Patreon meant that people realized the worth of body storytelling and wanted to support it. And then COVID happened and a global pandemic, and that meant the way that I made my living was gone, and I don't know when it's going to be back. But thanks to Patreon, people are letting me know that body needs to be there on the other side of this when the world comes back. And as a thank you, my Patreon supporters get amazing rewards. That makes me so happy because I don't like to take unless I give something back. If you support us at the $10 a month level or up, you're going to get free live stream tickets. You can still get tickets for this weekend's live stream if you're listening to this right away. We do live streams every 2 weeks, so you can get tickets for each live stream show. You get the live stream replays that live only on Patreon, in-depth interviews, time with rock stars and luminaries from the sex positive and kink world. I'm working on new rewards all the time. And soon, story coaching. So if there's something you want to work on, storytelling for self-discovery is something that I want to start incorporating into Patreon rewards. Go to patreon.com/body. Support me at whatever level you can. And thank you in advance for your support. Well, that's it for this week. But before I go, I want to say thank you to the people who make this podcast possible. Thank you to podcast producer and live stream technical director, Marty Garcia. Thank you to sound engineer, David Grossoff. Thank you to video archivist, Joe Moore. Thank you to Donal Mooney, who's making amazing pre-show videos for our live stream now. They're one of my favorite parts of the show. And thank you to you. I love that you listen despite the pandemic. I love that you're telling friends about the podcast and asking them to listen too. If you could take just a moment and write us a review, it would mean so much. It would mean other people would give it a try. And new people finding the podcast can mean that the podcast can continue on. I'm sexual folklorist Dixie De La Tour. This has been episode 142 of the Body Storytelling Podcast. See you next week.